Hello, everyone. Welcome to your Packers Daily Chat here at Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on the social channels. Sorry for the late start today. Unlike what was posited in the chat before we began here, I've had some home improvement necessary here at Shea Nagler, and my landlord and the guys who are supposed to be fixing shit are still late. Still haven't arrived. They were supposed to be here at 10. We are 2 hours later, and they're still not here. So who knows? Maybe they end up knocking on the door while I'm live. The broadcast that I moved specifically because they were supposed to be here at 10. Good times. But, you know, no one cares about that. What people care about is J.J. Watt's been offered $15 million by somebody. And I tell you who it wasn't. It wasn't the Green Bay Packers. We'll see how Diana's report plays out here in the coming days. I know John Clayton clarified his statements on the radio, but he did put Green Bay in the finalist camp when it comes to landing J.J. Watt's services. I'm still of the belief that it's going to be an absolute shock if he does end up in Green Bay in the green and gold, but we'll see. I've been shocked before. Hello to everybody in the comments. Good to see everybody chopping it up, as it were. Gary's here, of course. Gary, worked out since you slept late. Oh, I see. This worked out since you slept late. I gotcha. I'm there. Matt, I don't think who we bring in necessarily gets us over the hump, but what gets us over the hump is from within. The players we take, taking the next step developmentally and mentally. Matt, you're 1,000% correct. What guys like Josiah DeGuara do will mean a lot more to the 2021 Packers than most of their draft picks and or free agents this season. No doubt about it. Preston, thanks for the super chat. Morning, Nagler. Better chance of happening. Packers signing Watt and or Sherman, or you not having any beer for the next 6 months. Me not having any beer for the next 6 months is much more likely than those two signing. Robin, thanks for the super chat. Fell asleep and missed Patreon Zoom. Hope you had fun. Robin, you fell asleep. So sorry. Yes, it was a good time. We had a ball. Patreon happy hour. It's always a good grab bag of Packers topics, some non-Packers topics occasionally. But yeah, it was a good time. Robin, we'll see you next week. Thank you very much for checking in. Is he really looking for the most money? I think he wants to win, Tony. I would suspect he's looking for both. He can win in Cleveland. He can win in Buffalo. Those guys, well, Cleveland especially, have the money to give him $15, $16 million. Don't forget, he left the Texans with $17 on the table. So he's going to want to try and recoup most of that. Yes. Can the Packers offer the possibility of a Super Bowl run? Sure, of course. Come chase a ring with Aaron Rodgers. But to do so, you're going to have to do it at an insane hometown discount. And I just don't think JJ is about that life. But we don't. We'll see. Boomer, thanks for the super chat. And thank you for the generosity in said super chat. Pappy Fun, Nagler's the GM. What does he do with the roster? Adds good football players. I jest. Well, you know, if I were the GM, I would have a much better roadmap figuring out who's going to actually be available, who we suspect my personnel team would know, who we suspect is going to be franchised and or re-signed. Dalvin Tomlinson still makes a world of sense to me if the Packers can figure out a way to make the money work. Kenny Clark needs some help. I keep saying it. I'll keep saying it. Draft a corner. Keep developing those guys. And go cook with gas. With however the draft falls to you, I expect the offense won't miss much of a beat. Yeah, I know Corey Linsley's probably gone, but you insert Lucas Patrick, Elton Jenkins, maybe it's Hansen, but I don't expect much to change on the offensive side of the ball. Maybe they add a weapon in the draft, but my A number one thing is getting Kenny Clark help, as I've said many times. Javier, thank you for the super chat. I think 74 can be more valuable long-term at offensive tackle, and a starting line of 69, 76, 62, 77, and 74 could be pretty damn good once David Bakhtiari comes back, obviously. Thoughts? Thoughts. I have no thoughts. No, I have got plenty of thoughts. Could he be more valuable at offensive tackle? Most likely, yes, he could. Now, they've spent 2 years playing him at guard, and he's played at a high level. Obviously, he stepped in at a number of different positions throughout the season. I haven't heard or seen any inkling to want to move him permanently, but if they were going to make that move, we'd probably see it once they hit OTAs and the mini camp after the draft. So I would be on the lookout for that. My hunch is they'll keep him at guard, but who knows? Maybe they kick him into center. He played well there. when necessary, when called upon. He played well at tackle when called upon. Tackle is an issue, though. David Bakhtiari returning, obviously, is no given. The timetable there is, I mean, I know they're trying to hope against hope that he's ready for the start of the season. I would be an absolute shock, though. You never know these days, modern medicine being what it is, these guys and their workout routines, maybe it's a possibility. But I would suspect Bakhtiari will not be ready for the start of the year, and then your kind of idea here of putting Jenkins at tackle makes a lot of sense. So we'll see which way they go. And like I said, early in the offseason, we should get an indicator of what they're thinking. Got that. Preston got that. Okay, so I think I got them all. Javier, I got yours. Okay, good. Thoughts? How much do you think, they go too fast. How much do you think Dalvin Tomlinson is going to cost? Is he too much for the Pack to afford? Probably. You know, there's no doubt, you know, they tried to trade for him so that they could at least get him under in their program last year. The Giants balked at that. I would suspect, I'll be surprised if Tomlinson actually even leaves the Giants. But he's the one guy I think would really come in and maybe not instantly transform the defensive front, but he would certainly help in a lot of different ways, especially freeing up Kenny Clark from so much attention when it comes to pass protection sets and things of that nature. If he does hit the market, is he too expensive for the Packers? Yeah, probably. But maybe there's one guy that Brian just really wants and he's happy to overspend for. I mean, I doubt it, but you never know. But he's the one guy I would really... I can see out there that I think would make a big difference, especially if he's going to be paid free agent money. What is the max you think the Packers would offer J.J. Watt? Ten? Maybe eight? Probably ten. Even that's pretty irresponsible. I don't know. Probably ten. That's just guesswork on my part. But when you know he's getting offers in the 15, 16 range, it's hard to compete with that. That you grew up a Packer fan only goes so far. But we'll see. Why not just franchise Aaron Jones? Well, they could. We talked about that yesterday. That $8 million mark, that becomes a pretty damn good bargain. If he is traditional, if the cap was continuing to go up, that cap hit for a franchise running back would probably be around just north of $12 million. So to get him at eight would be a deal. But you drafted AJ Dillon for a reason. You know, some would argue you overdrafted AJ Dillon, which is fine if the expectation is, well, you've got two backs going into their contract year. You expect that to allow them to walk and then insert your back that you really wanted. You clearly used a premium pick on. He is your guy. But then to turn around and use the franchise tag and guarantee $8 million of your cap for 1 year of Aaron Jones, it makes sense in the sense that you know who the player is, you know what he brings to your offense, but that's $8 million not going other places that in a year where they've really got to be cost conscious and make things work under a cap that is falling for the first time in living memory, it gets a little bit harder to justify. But I'm not dismissing it. I think there's a possibility it could happen, and we'll find out in the next kind of week to 10 days here. Russell Wilson, a bear. Oh, don't worry. Ryan Pace will screw it up somehow. I read the Athletic piece this morning about Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Man, that's pretty fascinating stuff. I mean, here, look, I do think a lot of this is, and they mentioned this in the article, a lot of this is Russell Wilson trying to get ahead of stuff PR wise, because, you know, he's talking about, I've taken all these sacks and the offensive line has never been addressed and has never been good, et cetera. And that's, you know, there's absolute truth to that. There's no doubt about it. But you can turn on tape and see plenty of times when he's got all day to throw and he runs in to the rush. He creates pressure on his own with his legs because he's so used to running around and making things happen. I mean, don't get last year twisted. At the beginning of the season, it was all let Russ cook and he was in the MVP conversation. And then all of a sudden they ran into some good defenses and Russ couldn't cook anymore. So then Carroll was like, let's dial it back and let's get back to running the football. It's not difficult. I mean, that's what happened. So, you know, Russ needs to now make it turn around and go, I've been sacked a lot. The offensive line has never been good enough. Well, yeah, it was good enough, if they would have been playing Carroll's brand of football. But you insisted, you've been bugging them clearly for years about doing it your way. They did it your way, and it was great while you were playing the cream puffs of the world. But when you ran into a couple really good defenses starting out in Buffalo, it all fell apart. You know, Carroll's got a point. I don't know, but it is pretty fascinating. I think the Seahawks should call the Houston Texans about Watson. Now, I don't know, they probably don't even pick up the phone, but, you know, Russ in Houston, good luck, buddy. That would be fun. Any news on 12 restructuring to free up money? No, nothing. Not a peep. There's a long way to go, though. We've got a couple weeks yet until the new league year begins, and that deadline for having to get under the cap for the top 51 will be in place. I would suspect if they approach Aaron, it would probably be in the coming weeks, probably the next week, like a week away. But we'll see. Maybe that, hell, I could end this right now and there could be news. Rodgers has restructured his contract, because that's generally how my life works. Should Packers look at Will Fuller again? Only suspended first game of next season. If he wants to come play for cheap on a one-year deal, sure. I can't imagine them laying out big money for a wide receiver. I suspect they'll draft one, but I'd be shocked if they spent free agency dollars at wideout. But you never know. They have tried each and every offseason, seemingly, to land a free agent wide receiver. You know, last year was no different, but guys have chosen other spots. Will they make that call? I would suspect they will, because they were obviously in on trying to trade for him. But I'd be very surprised if he chose to come to Green Bay and play on a cheap deal. This is what he'd need to do. Is $8 million too much for a top four back? No, it's not too much at all. But it's in the context of the puzzle that is the cap. Also, you don't know what A.J. Dillon can do as a full-time guy. You know, yes, having Aaron Jones is a great luxury. But again, you invested in A.J. Dillon. I'm all for bringing Aaron Jones back. Don't get it twisted. I would love to have him on the Packers in 2021. But it's at the expense of something else in other areas. You got to pay corners. You got to pay defensive linemen. You're going to have to probably, maybe, possibly, you know, pay Jair Alexander, pay Davante Adams. All this stuff has got to happen. $8 million on a back for 1 year. It's great because it's Aaron Jones and you love him, but there's a lot of other work to be done. I don't know. We'll see. Who are some bargain free agents you would sign? Well, Blake, it's impossible to know who's a true bargain without talking to the representatives. I get a lot of questions about Richard Sherman or Patrick Peterson. I think the type of people Packer fans should be looking at is like AJ Bouye. He's, I think, going to be walking from Denver. I know they were in on him last free agency, last time he was on the market. He's coming off a rough year. He's going to be suspended for a couple games to begin the season. But I think you add all that up, he's coming off injury, etc. You add all that up, and that's a guy who could probably be gotten for much cheaper than you're going to be spending at other kind of premium market guys like Richard Sherman, etc. So those are the types of guys, Packers fans, that we should be looking at when you talk about free agency. What else we got? Mark Ingram as a vet running back. Blake, if he's out there for a while and doesn't have many offers and doesn't basically like his market, I could see that. Now, he's a battering ram, and you think you kind of already have that in A.J. Dillon. But you also know that coaches talked about needing two or even three backs and running these guys into the ground and what a punishing position it is. So I don't think the skill set is that much of a worry. If you can get him on a cheap deal, it's not the world's worst idea. But I suspect he'll probably sign someplace for a little bit more money. Jamal Williams, people, Big B is up in here with the GOAT. All I want for my birthday next week is for Packers trivia to start. Won't be next week, Joey. Sorry, buddy. It'll be soon. Soon-ish. It's coming. But it most likely will not be next week. Didn't like our opponents when released. List seems strong, but big changes coming for Steelers, Saints, etc. Thoughts? The magic thoughts. I never even look at, you know, they're going to play whoever they're going to play. That's all marked out. And you pretty much know, you know, it's a four-year rotation, so you have a really good idea who it's going to be. The schedule will be released in April. All I care about is who they play the first four games. And even then, it's like, we're looking at it in April. I mean, you talk about next year's opponents now. Who knows what they're going to look like? We have no clue how the offseason is going to play out. It's, to me, it's a wasted exercise. I understand why people do it. I understand, you know, the schedule comes out. People go win, loss, win, loss. I totally get it. It's just not for me. Paul, thanks for the super chat. Lots of great Packers media, but Cheesehead TV is the GOAT. The GOAT! Thank you, Paul. That's very kind of you. Not so sure I agree with your police work there, but it's very nice. Fenner, large signing bonus for Watt could close the gap in a deal and not hurt the cap as much, correct? Well, it depends on the years and how much you're able to prorate it and how much of it is guaranteed for injury. A lot of different components there. Kyler's sacral return, Arnold. Who is that? Sorry, no, that's Matt. Matt, you know, I know Andy put it out there last night. It's not the craziest idea. I know Packer fans don't want to hear it. Goodness knows I've made plenty of jokes at Kyler's expense. I also apologized. But, yeah, that would not shock me. Now is he a fit for what they want to do on defense? I don't know. But, you know, as an edge guy who will probably come pretty cheap comparatively, yeah, it might happen. Makes some sense. Use the H-back more. DeGuara, love, Daphne. Brandy, I am all in on this. And this is one of the things that always drives me nuts when people talk about they got to get a wide receiver or they screwed up by not drafting a wide receiver. You know, can we let the other positions catch a few, please? Like, it's about the five eligibles on the field. It's not about the wide receiver position. Those H-backs can catch. The tight end can catch. The running back can catch. Hell, a fullback could catch if there was a fullback. Wide receivers, yes, can catch. Like, all of these guys are capable of running routes and catching footballs from the quarterback. It doesn't matter what you designate them at position-wise. We saw that last year. You know, we got Jamal Williams running up vertical down the field. We got Aaron Jones vertical up the field. We got A.J. Dillon on a wheel route. Aaron didn't throw it to him, but he will eventually. You know, everybody's so fixated on wide receiver. It's this old-world mentality. But yes, Brandy, to your point, more DeGuara, more Lovett, more Daphne. I'm all in on all of that. yourself and Perry presenting trivia. It will be myself, Perry, and a few other people, I think. Hopefully. I don't know how much Perry can commit time-wise. She does have a full-time day job that has nothing to do with Cheesehead TV. But yes, she will be involved in some capacity, no doubt about it. What are the coordinates on the wall? This is Lambeau Field. The coordinates for Lambeau. My oldest daughter got this for me as a present. And she said, so now you and Corey both have Lambeau in the background of your shot. That's pretty sweet. It's a good kid. Good kid. Who is my favorite current Packer under contract? Corey Linsley. Just getting that in under the wire because Lord knows he's probably not going to be under contract for much longer. I think it might be wise to trade out of the first to get more guys for cheaper money. It's not always necessarily cheaper money, but yeah, I hear you. The problem is the value in that first round pick is the fifth year option and having an extra year of control. But that also makes it somewhat attractive for a team who maybe takes a player at another position of need early in the draft and then wants to jump back up into the bottom of the first round to maybe get a quarterback. Quarterbacks obviously are worth their weight in gold, and if there is one that slips, to get them at the start, at the end of the first round rather than the start of the second is worth a lot because you get that extra year of control. So they will make the Packers pick pretty attractive, I would think. But if there's a player there that you love, you take him. You worry about those other games later. Cyril, is the practice squad process the same in 2021? That's a really good question because the CBA that they cobbled together during COVID, the start of COVID, basically, and leading up to the 2020 season was just supposed to be for that season, but they did leave open the possibility of, basically continuing much of that process. And there's a lot of moving parts there throughout next season in 2021. I know the ownership meeting will be happening soon where they will undoubtedly talk about adding that 17th game and eliminating a preseason game. You have to think some of those things will be addressed as well. as far as personnel, mechanisms, practice squad moves, etc. That's all stuff that has to get bargained with the union. So, yeah, I would look for news of that around that about the same time as the schedule thing gets talked about. So I would think mid-March, but we'll see. If we franchise someone, which I don't think we would it be wiser to do it to Lindsley? The problem with putting the tag on Lindsley is that offensive line designations aren't split up. Like, it's the top five at that position, meaning every offensive lineman in the league. So you're including offensive tackles who are getting paid insane money. So that cap number comes in at an insane rate. So even in a year where the cap is down and the tag numbers will be down, it's way too prohibitive. There's no way they do that. Is this another year we go defensive heavy? Eric, you know, it seems like they do it every year, right? For all the good it does. I don't know. We'll see. I think they got to look at tackle. I think offensive tackle has got to be high on the list of needs here. I think corners on the defensive side. After that, maybe defensive linemen. But yeah, to me, offensive tackle cannot be ignored in this draft. And it's another deep class. I think they really need to address it. But we'll see. What if next thoughts? Brandy, you're bad. Was AJ Hawk good? Nicholas, this is an interesting question. Only got to see the last 2 years, I guess, of his tenure with the Pack, and it wasn't that great. AJ Hawk was a really solid player who was overdrafted, taken way too high. If he had been drafted in the third, fourth round, I think he would have been exalted. Packers fans would have loved him. But the fact that he was taken in the top 10 raised the expectations to an insane level. He was incredibly productive. He was incredibly available. All played through everything. Played through every injury, wasn't dynamic, but he was a really good football player. And I think while he was in Green Bay, probably was not appreciated as much as he should have been. But there were rough times, rough spots, no doubt about it. And yeah, the end of his tenure wasn't pretty on the field. But I mean, when he was drafted in that stretch, when he, you know, basically was in his prime, so to speak, he was a really good football player, no doubt about it. Do you think DeGuar will take the number two spot as starting tight end over Sternberger? Yes and no. I think there will be certain packages and certain concepts where they prefer one or the other. I don't know if it's so much, you know, it's not Madden. You're not going to slot them in one, two, three. But I do think they really clearly liked DeGuar and they wanted to get him on the field sooner rather than later. He was out there week one running wheel routes and making things happen out in Minnesota. Then obviously the injury against Atlanta. End of the season, but I think they like him. We'll see how he develops, how he comes back from that injury. It's never a given. The guys are going to just hit the ground running, but I do think you'll see a healthy mix of both of those. And when it comes to Sternberger, you know, don't forget, there's a lot going on behind the scenes there as far as his health. Give him the offseason, get him right as rain, and let's see what he brings when they hit the ground in camp, because I think he's going to surprise some people. I'll take one or two more here, guys. Are we re-signing Mercedes? I don't know. I hope so. You know, another 1 year deal makes a world of sense, but I don't think it's a given. I think this year, the cap being as it is, there's some balls in the air you got to juggle first before you bring him back, but I hope they do. What's the timeline on the draft guy? David, it is rumbling to life. I would expect it. Last year, I think we got it a couple weeks before the draft itself. I think that probably stands to reason, maybe a month before the draft. So maybe a little later, but around that time. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day. Again, I'm so sorry I was late today, but couldn't be helped. But thank you for sticking with it. Thank you for sticking with me and Cheesehead TV. It really means the world to us that you make Cheesehead TV even a small part of your daily Packers routine. Totally understand there are a lot of outlets out there covering the Packers that you see Cheesehead TV is worthy even just a little bit of your Packers time. Really means the world to us. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.